What kind of joke is this? Asking us to meet at 9 in the morning on a weekend? Well, whatever kind of joke it is, I guess it's on me. Because I'm actually listening to those instructions and pedaling like mad to get to the station. Kitaguchi Station is right at the center of town, because it's an important railway hub. Every weekend, the square in front of the station is packed with teenagers and young adults window shopping. Other than catching the train in the city, there's not much to do in this town besides hang out at the mall near the station. I wonder what kind of entertainment people in this town find for themselves with so little to do around here. I carelessly discarded my bike somewhere near the bank and ran to the turnstiles at the north entrance. It was still 9:05, but it looked like everybody else had already arrived.
You're late! Penalty!
It's not even 9 yet.
The last person to arrive is late, and latecomers have to be punished. That's the rule.
Well, what if it was just you and me, Haruki? Would I still count as a latecomer? Why have I never heard of that rule before?
That? I just made it up now.
Do you even listen to what you're saying?
So, your penalty is that you're gonna have to treat all of us to drinks.
I can pay for
it. No ducking out! Kyonko has to learn her lesson to not be late.
Haruki, you're the lowest of the low. Are you seriously asking a girl to pay for your little outing?
Now, onward!
I'll always keep the answer safe here inside my heart. I don't understand. Why is it that I run to you? I have a problem. Could it be that I can't help it because it's been chosen by my destiny? I believe acting like everyone else is boring you, be right. If I just prove myself, I know I can do anything. Life is an adventure. Don't hesitate to take all of your fears and throw them away. Getting strong, follow through with your dreams. It's not just for anyone else's sake. Take my hand and fly away. I won't let you fall believing me. If you can survive through the day, I'll prove to you that there's really no need for such things that difficult. Keep reaching towards a future. I
We followed Haruki, and despite his harsh words, Haruki was visibly excited about the SOS Brigade's first out-of-school gathering. He was dressed in a loose white t-shirt and brown jacket with jeans, and he looked like a typical trendy teenager out for a good time. I pitied any girl who tried to flirt with him today, based on that deceptive appearance. Asahina-senpai was wearing a light pink shirt with a silver necktie and dress pants, looking a bit formal for the occasion. He gave me an unapologetic smile as Haruki led the way into a nearby cafe. Walking along beside me, Itsuko was wearing a white sleeveless top plus a denim shirt and short skirt. Not only did she have the figure to pull it off, she was also taller than me. Even her handbag was stylish and fashionable. It was irritating, but I had to admit that she looked pretty beautiful. Nagato was walking by himself at the back of the group, as usual. Technically, he's part of the literature club, but I guess he considers himself a full-time SOS Brigade underling. I remembered all the weirdness he had spouted the other night, but to look at him, you'd never have known that he would be capable of imagining such nonsense. But why was he still wearing his school uniform, even on the weekend? As we, the Mystery Five, entered the cafe by the roundabout and sat down in our chairs, the waiter sidled over and began to take our orders. Haruki added lots of unnecessary extras to his order, while Asahina-senpai picked the cheapest drink on the menu. Nagato picked up his menu and looked it over for some time with a serious look on his face, as if his choice of drinks were a matter of life and death. It really doesn't matter what you order, since Haruki's forcing me to pay. When we got our drinks, Haruki gave the following commands.
Alright everyone, I'm only gonna say this once, so listen up. We're gonna split up into two parties. If any of us find anything mysterious, we're gonna contact each other by cell phone and meet up to discuss what to do next. Once it's all over, a debriefing would be held to review and prepare for future developments.
Haruki grabbed 5 toothpicks from the toothpick stand and marked 2 of them using a penny borrowed from the waiter. He wrapped his hand around them, concealing the marked ends, and thrust his fist at us to draw. Please, God, don't let me end up with Haruki. In the end, I drew a marked one, and so did Asahina-senpai. He glanced at my toothpick, and then began to blush.
Mitsuru-kun, this isn't a date. This is serious work. Understand?
Yes.
Don't roll over in submission so easily, Asahina-senpai. Stand up to him for a bit. Still, I'm relieved. Asahina-senpai is the only one I feel safe walking around with.
What exactly are we looking for?
Anything that looks suspicious. Anybody or anything that looks unusual. Like portals that lead to different dimensions, or people who look like aliens trying to be human.
I see. So then, all we have to do is look for aliens, time travelers, and espers, and any traces they may have left behind on Earth. I understand completely.
Exactly. Koizumi-san has it correct. Everyone would do well to listen to her.
Don't suck up to Haruki so blatantly, Itsuko. Annoyed, I glared at her. But she simply smiled enigmatically at me.
Alright then, let's roll out!
Standing abruptly, Haruki shoved the bill towards me and strode proudly out of the cafe. Sighing, I reached for my purse, but Itsuko stopped me.
I'll take care of it.
Ah, thank you. I'll pay you back later.
Don't worry about it. Just don't tell Suzumiya-san about this, and we'll call it even. Okay?
Now that was odd. Maybe this is her way of apologizing to me for yesterday? Well, I say it a lot, but with good reason, I'll say it again.
Good grief.
Haruki threatened Asahina-senpai in graphic detail about what would happen if the search for extraterrestrial life somehow turned into anything vaguely approaching romantic. He needn't have bothered going that far. Asahina-senpai was shaking in fear after the first few sentences. Haruki headed off east with Nagato and Itsuko. Asahina-senpai and I went west. I still didn't know what it is we're supposed to be looking for.
What should we do?
It's pointless to stand around here doing nothing, so let's just take a bit of a walk.
All right.
I tried to imagine what we must look like to passerby as we strolled down a path by the riverbank. Asahina-senpai wasn't really that tall, so we probably match really well. Then again, maybe people would think that I was his older sister. Well, if Asahina-senpai were my little brother, I wouldn't complain. If we had come down here about a month ago, we would have been able to see the cherry blossom blooming, but alas, it was on just a plain riverside walk. Still, it was a popular spot for couples and families, so the place was a little crowded. But me and Asahina-senpai were probably the only people out here on this nice spring day looking for aliens by the river. We continued walking. I noticed that he kept glancing at me and then looking away rapidly.
Senpai, are you alright?
I guess this is the first time I have ever walked like this.
What do you mean?
Together, with a girl. All alone.
I felt my face go red. Mitsuru must have noticed as he began to panic.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. I'm not supposed to involve myself in a relationship with anyone. At least not at this time.
It's fine. Asahina-senpai seemed to calm down after I said that. And we continued walking until he suddenly stopped and turned to me.
Asahina? Senpai?
Kyo-ni-chan, I have something to tell you.
About what?
Let's sit somewhere.
He led me to a bench by the sakura trees and we sat down, but for a long time Asahina-senpai didn't speak. He still looked like he was composing himself for something momentous.
I'm not from this time, not from this age. I'm a time traveler, from the future. I can't tell you when I arrive from, or from which temporal plane. I wouldn't be able to anyway, even if I wanted to. Look, telling anybody from the past about future events is strictly forbidden. Before I returned to this time, I had to undergo mental conditioning. If I ever intend to say something that should not be revealed, I'll just run into a mental blank. People assume that time is a strict progression from cause to effect. But actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, each time frame is made up of different two-dimensional flat planes. Try to imagine it like a cartoon. When we're watching a cartoon, you see the characters within move seamlessly. But you know that's just an illusion created from a series of still images. So time's a bit like that, a digitalized version. If I used a series of still images like that as a description, Perhaps it'll help you to understand. So between every single time frame and another, there are these things called temporal fault lines. They exist, but the frequency of these fault lines is near zero, so there's no continuity between different time frames. Time traveling is the attempt to make a three-dimensional movement between the two-dimensional temporal planes. So for me, because I've arrived from the future into this temporal plane, it's like adding an extra object onto the still images of an animation. Even if I were to attempt to change the future, nothing would happen in the future that I came from because of the lack of continuity between time planes. Everything would only change in this temporal frame. So it's like trying to add a few words onto a still image from the hundreds of still images needed for an animation. The overall story doesn't change, right? Time is unlike this river here. It's not analog, linear, progressive events. It's a series of digitalized temporal planes. Do you follow me?
I hesitated on whether to clamp one hand on my forehead. Eventually, I did. Temporal planes? Digitalization? I had no idea what those terms meant, but... a time traveler?
Let me explain why I've come to this temporal plane. 3 years ago, we detected the occurrence of a huge time quake. It was around 3 years ago before today, just as Suzumiya-san entered junior high. But when we attempted to travel back to investigate, we ran into some sort of source wall. We were unable to travel back any further into the past than 3 years ago.
Why is it 3 years ago again?
He's located right at the nexus of the time quake. Please don't ask why. The knowledge is forbidden. I can't tell you. But we're certain that it is Suzumiya-san who has blocked access to the past from that point onwards.
I don't think Haruki is even capable of doing that.
Neither did I. Honestly, it's supposed to be impossible for a normal human to interfere with the temporal planes. It's still an unsolved mystery, and Suzumiya-san himself seems unaware that he is the source of temporal distortions in the time quake. I've been sent here to Suzumiya-san's side so I can better observe the changes to the temporal planes in his presence. I think the best word for it that you currently have is surveillance. Yes, I'm on surveillance duty.
I was speechless.
You don't believe me, do you?
No, I don't. Why are you telling me all of this?
Because you have been chosen by Suzumiya-san.
Damn it! Nagato said the same thing the other day.
I can't go into the details, but if I've guessed correctly, you're a very important person to Suzumiya-san. There's a reason behind everything that he does.
Yeah, his so-called master plan or whatever. Then, Nagato-kun and Itsuko are...
They are similar to me. But Suzumiya-san is still unaware that he is the one who has gathered us to his side. It doesn't matter even if you don't believe me. I'd just like you to know about this. Sorry.
It's... okay. Really. First, there's Nagato, telling me he's a living humanoid interface created by aliens. Now Asahina-senpai is claiming that he's a time-traveling spy sent from the future. How am I supposed to believe this? Somebody help me! Afterwards, we took a stroll around the streets. Despite Haruki's loud warnings about not going on a date, I figured that just walking around with Asahina-senpai wouldn't incur his wrath. We went window shopping at the fashion stores in the mall, had a look around the souvenir stalls by the side street, just random stuff to kill time.
Hey, we're meeting at noon, at the station we met this morning.
After saying that, he hung up. I looked at my watch. It was already 11:50. Oh, damn. There's no way we're gonna make it.
Was that Suzumiya-san? What'd he say?
He said we need to meet again at noon, so we need to hurry. I grabbed Asahina-senpai's hand, knowing that we had no chance to make it by noon unless we ran, and we took off running towards the station. What reaction would Haruki have if he saw us running hand in hand? I didn't really want to find out.
Any results?
We were 10 minutes late, and that was the first thing Haruki said when he saw us. He seemed rather pissed off. Nothing at all.
You didn't find anything?
No.
You probably didn't even look, did you? You just wandered around aimlessly. What did I tell you, Mitsuru-kun?
Asahina-senpai trembled with utter terror. I've got to get Haruki to stop this, now. So, what did you guys find then? Upon hearing me, Haruki went silent. Itsuko, standing behind him, ran her hands through her hair, while... Nagato, of course, stood motionlessly. After a few moments of no one saying anything...
Let's have lunch first. We'll continue after that.
Eh? You still want to continue? We had our lunch in a burger shop. Haruki ordered the biggest burger they had for sale and devoured it and the fries that came with it in about 30 seconds flat. I guess he uses all those calories for his massive bursts of energy. Haruki said it was time to draw lots again, and drew out some extra toothpicks he'd stolen from the cafe earlier this morning. He's really well prepared. Koizumi was the first to pick a toothpick.
Unmarked again.
Mine is too. And Kyoni-chan?
Nope. Sorry. Mine's marked. Haruki seemed like he was in even worse mood and rushed Nagato into drawing a toothpick. Please not Haruki, please not Haruki, please not Haruki. In the end, I got my wish. Nagato and I were grouped together, while the other three were in the other group. Haruki's only glared at the unmarked toothpick as if staring at the very person who killed his mother. He then turned towards me and Nagato, who was busy eating his cheeseburger, and scowled. Why the heck are you so mad today?
Alright, we'll meet in front of the station by 4. Find something by then, or else!
After saying that, he grabbed my Coke, downed it in one go, and stalked out of the restaurant. This time, we went south and north, with my group in charge of the south. Before we parted, Asahina-senpai waved me goodbye. Good luck, Asahina-senpai! Don't let Haruki and Itsuko force you into weird costumes again! And now it was just me and Nagato, standing idly in front of the busy station. What should we do? Nagato said nothing. Let's go. I strode forward and found that he was following me. Looks like I'm starting to get used to hanging around him. And Nagato-kun, about the stuff you told me the other day.
Yes?
I'm starting to believe it a little.
That's so.
Yeah. So, under this empty atmosphere, we silently walked around the station. I tried to make small talk with Nagato, but don't you have any casual clothing? What do you do on holidays? Are you happy now? And that's how our conversation went for that day. There was no point walking around aimlessly, so I suggested to Nagato that we could go to the new library by the seaside. It was built around the same time the authorities had developed the land for the station. I'd never been inside myself before, as I rarely borrowed any books. I just thought that maybe I could get some rest. However, when we got inside, I discovered that every seat was occupied. I guess these people also have nowhere else to go in their free time. I glanced around the library, looking a bit lost, while Nagato had already drifted off towards the bookshelves like he was in a trance. I guess this was his personal paradise. I used to read often. When I was in elementary school, my dad used to borrow illustrated books from the children's book section for me to read. There were all sorts of books, but I remember that all the ones I'd read were quite interesting. However, I can't remember any of their names anymore. When did I stop reading? When did reading start becoming boring for me? I randomly picked a book from the bookshelf and quickly flipped through a few pages before putting it back and then picking up another book. It would take me forever to find any interesting book in the sea of books, if I didn't do any research. With thoughts like that in mind, I wandered between the bookshelves, aimlessly. As I headed to look for Nagato, I found him reading in front of a bookshelf of thick hardcover books. I guess those are your favorites, huh, Nagato? Finally, after seeing a woman reading her fashion magazine get up from her chair, I went and sat down, carrying a novel that I had randomly picked up. It's impossible trying to read a book I never intended on reading. A while later, I found myself getting drowsy and fell asleep.
My phone! Hello?
Idiot! What the hell are you doing? What time do you think it is right now?
I looked at my watch. It was 4:30.
Sorry, I just woke up.
What? Oh, you dumbass!
You are the least qualified person to call me a dumbass!
Get your ass over here right now! I'm giving you 30 seconds!
Stop making demands that are impossible to achieve, Haruki! After Haruki roughly hung up, I put my phone back in my pocket and went back inside the library. Nagato was still there, reading what looked like a huge encyclopedia. The following was a bit tricky. It took quite some time trying to move Nagato, who seemed rooted to the spot. And then we had to go to the counter to fill out a form to borrow the book. During that entire process, my phone kept vibrating. Haruki kept calling me. When we returned to the station with Nagato carrying a thick, philosophical book like it was his firstborn child, the three people waiting there all had different reactions. Asahina-senpai smiled with a sigh of relief. Itsuko simply shrugged her shoulders, while Haruki, predictably, yelled at me like I was on the side of the city.
Late again. Penalty!
I guess that means I have to treat you guys. I looked over at Itsuko.
Sorry, not this time. I bought a new top, so...
Gee, thanks for the help. Finally, today's outdoor activity came to an end after wasting our time and money. I could have better spent the day at home playing video games.
I'm so tired. Suzumiya-san walked so fast I had a tough time keeping up. Oh, thanks for listening to what I said today.
Are all people from the future stunningly cute as you are?
Then, see you.
Itsuko came up behind me and softly patted my shoulder.
Today was fun. How should I say this? Suzumiya-san really is an interesting person. Pity I couldn't be with you today, though. Next time.
Itsuko left wearing a grin that was rapidly becoming annoying. I discovered that Nakuto had left already. That left Haruki staring at me.
So what exactly have you been doing all day today?
I could ask myself the same question.
What kind of answer is that?
He's really pissed.
Day after tomorrow, after school, we're having a debriefing.
Without looking back, Haruki turned and walked into the crowd. It didn't matter to me. My mind was only thinking about going home. However, I returned to the bank only to discover my bike was missing. Replacing it was a sign on the lamppost saying, "Your bicycle has been towed away as a result of illegal parking." Why me?
I want to be the only one who can solve the mystery. Take control of our lives. With my friends we will go anywhere in this world.
Forever in all the time. Boom, all the dreams that will warp and loop inside my mind.
Raise around in my heart. I imagine someday that is mine. Unsolved soul, I still remember that sunny day. The magical game that we used to play. Put out endlessly. Could it possibly take these memories from me? See you tomorrow, let me say. We're laughing and humming all of the way.
Gather happiness using togetherness.
Find it isn't hard if you can really try.
Gotta learn to chase it.
Gotta learn to chase it.
Gotta yearn to grasp it.
We love dreaming big, so dream and dream. We love it all.